Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world from the Mingwei website. This week's top stories include Taiwan, Falun Gong's lantern-decorated boat highlights New Year celebration in Taichung. Shenyun brings inspiring culture to six states in the Midwest. Chinese New Year celebration brings beauty of Falun Dafa to San Francisco. Western Australia, Falun Gong performance and signature drive warmly received at multicultural festivals. And CCP torture method, hunger therapy. Now for the stories. Taiwan, Falun Gong's lantern-decorated boat highlights New Year celebration in Taichung. The Lantern Festival traditionally falls on the last day of the Chinese New Year celebration. The annual lantern show in Taiwan was held in Taichung this year on February 28, 2015. Falun Gong practitioners contributed a six-story-tall boat decorated with a variety of lanterns, which drew much attention. The boat measures 75 feet long, 24 feet wide, and 54 feet high. Many people waited in long lines to board the boat before the lanterns were lit and took photos with practitioners dressed as fairy ladies. Mr. Kuo and his family were amazed by the boat. "I have never seen a lantern which one can get on," he said. "I got on the boat. It is not only beautiful, but also sturdy. On the top of the boat, I can see all the other lanterns in the show." Lin Chai-lung, the mayor of Taichung City, invited Cheng Ching-hua, the chair of the Falun Dafa Association, to light the lanterns, along with several city council members. The mayor highly praised the Falun Gong boat for its creativeness and magnificence. He shared a photo of the boat on his Facebook account and received many likes. City council member Seng Chao-rong said that he expects citizens would enjoy the boat and learn more about Falun Gong's teachings, truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Mr. Wang Xianliang, chair of the Chinese Lantern Art Association in Taiwan, was also amazed by the Falun Gong boat. "Ordinary people would not try to make such a large-scale display. Only talented people who are willing to selflessly contribute to the community are able to complete such a task." Mr. Wang suggested that practitioners should participate in a large flower show in Taipei later this year. Tens of thousands of tourists came to the celebration. Besides the boat, they also enjoyed 18 other large-scale lanterns made by Falun Gong practitioners, including a carriage lantern and fairy lady lantern. Mr. Hu said he liked Falun Gong's lantern carriage. Speaking of Falun Gong, Mr. Hu said he believes that the persecution in China is wrong. "People should have freedom of belief. Suppressing compassion will promote evilness," he said. According to the organizer, more than 2,000 tourists boarded the practitioner's boat on the first day of the show. The boat and other lanterns will be displayed until the last week of the show, March 15th.
Shenyun brings inspiring culture to six states in the Midwest. Shenyun's Performing Arts performed 27 shows in the Midwestern United States from February 5th to February 28th. Showgoers from six states enjoyed the profound culture exhibited by Shenyun's masterful production. Emmy Award winner Fantastic Job of Crossing the Border. Composer Roger Tallman, a seven-time Emmy Award winner, lauded the skilled arrangements by Shenyun's composers after seeing the performance at the DeVos Performance Hall in Michigan on February 14th. "Whoever is doing the arrangements, they did a phenomenal job creating the feelings that the dancers were emoting on stage, and that's a tough job. Especially with a composer and an arranger trying to mix metaphors," Mr. Tallman said. The seamless combination of East and West impressed Mr. Tallman, who thought the orchestra did a fantastic job of crossing the border between the cultures. "I think the idea that they're bringing Chinese instruments into the Western orchestra is so unique that it has to catch your attention, and I think that's what moved me the most within the music itself," he explained. To him, the diverse stories portrayed in Shenyun compel people to just learn so much about the culture. Mr. Tallman also enjoyed the synchronization of the dancers and the digitally animated backdrops. He said it was something that we don't see here, and that impressed me very much. "I'm going to have to tell many people about the experience, that's for sure, because it's very unique," he said. Theater founding director, inspiring and enjoyable. David D. Chiera, founding general director of Michigan Opera Theater and a composer, was impressed by Shan Yun's production after seeing it on Friday the 6th. "It's excellent. The talents and the skills that they have exhibited are at a very high level, and that's what makes the show so inspiring and so enjoyable for the public," he said. "The production is very well produced and very well coordinated." He thought the spirituality demonstrated in the performance and by Shen Yun's artists was very, very beautiful. He believed that everybody involved here has a certain sense of their own spirituality, and one can feel the peace that is connecting with their art and with their history. "This is so wonderful when people from different parts of the world can connect and experience other people's cultures to realize that we are all human beings. We all have the same emotions, the same desires, the same need for friendship, for love, and for generosity toward one another. That is what I think is achieved here. People leave the theater very pleased and inspired," he said. Government official, exhibiting goodness and positiveness. Larry Dawes, a government official in Illinois, attended the performance as his second time with his granddaughter. He thought the show was very good. He hoped his granddaughter would gain from the show that there is still a lot of goodness in the world. Not everything is negative. Aware of the sabotage attempts by the Chinese consulate to prevent Shen Yun from performing at the theater, he commented, "The communist government doesn't like the truth because, you know, the truth will set you free. But after 9 years of Shen Yun, it is going to continue and the truth is getting out." State representative, beautiful, interesting, and rich. "It is just incredible. I have never seen anything like that except in this show," said State Representative Phyllis Kahn after watching the performance in Minneapolis. What impressed Ms. Kahn the most from the performance was the talent and agility that she witnessed from the performers. She was just incredibly in awe of the talents of the people on stage. "I just think it's very beautiful and very interesting and very rich," she said, and recommends the show as an amazing experience, something that everyone should see. Gospel singer, "Never seen any show as beautiful. I've never seen any show as beautiful as this show that I have seen tonight," exclaimed Dr. K. Francis Barkdale, a gospel singer, after seeing the performance in Cincinnati on February 28th. Dr. Barksdale sees Shen Yun's performance every time it comes to Cincinnati. In fact, she canceled her own show for the evening so that she could attend. "I was so excited. That's why I came," she said. "I enjoyed it so very much," she said. "We would never see the dancing that they perform here. The colors are so colorful." She said with excitement, "Without my knowledge, without thinking that I was going to holler yes, and I did because she was so great." Speaking of the Arhu performance, Dr. Barksdale said, "It was a quiet type of music, and you could just listen and feel the spirituality within yourself. It's soulful, but it's quiet, and that's what I received from listening." Dr. Barksdale described her feelings of watching The Last Dance. "The divine renaissance begins. She believes in God, who is the creator of everything. He has created you, me, and all people. It's not about color or where you have come from or where you are, but where you are going. I thoroughly believe that there is a heaven, a better earth, and a new heaven that we will see one day." Displaying the beauty of God. "A great performance and a great message," said Ray Markley after seeing the performance in Cincinnati with his wife Catherine and daughter Mary. "Mr. Markley saw a message about a higher standard of living involving a supreme being and of believing in a supreme God as creator. This message makes me rejoice that there are other truths worldwide where people believe what I do," he said. "At the same time, that underlying truth is still sowing seeds." "This is very inspiring," said Mrs. Markley. She was encouraged to see that God, in his role of the founder, is still being carried forward and that he is still being revealed to people, as this performance made clear. She was also impressed with the graceful flow of the music, the physical performance all just flowing together, and my eyes couldn't keep up with the beauty that they displayed. Mary, who works as a nurse, also shared her thoughts. Nature is very beautiful to me because it displays the glory of God. The show today displayed much of nature. All of the beautiful colors that came together, all of the physical movements, was very natural, graceful, and beautiful. So all of that together, just to me, showed me more of the beauty of God, she said. Shunyun will continue to perform in the United States in Chicago, Illinois, on March 6th through the 8th, Denver, Colorado, on March 6th through the 8th, and Fort Worth, Texas, on March 10th and 11th.
Chinese New Year celebration brings beauty of Falun Dafa to San Francisco. Falun Dafa practitioners held a series of events in downtown San Francisco and Chinatown this past weekend to ring in the Chinese New Year and introduce the beauty of Falun Dafa cultivation practice. The Saturday events included a large group demonstration of Falun Dafa exercises at Civic Center Plaza and a colorful parade that started at noon. Led by practitioners dressed as celestial maidens, the parade also included the Divine Land Marching Band, Dafa exercise demonstrations, and beautifully decorated floats. Delighted spectators. Amanda and Rachel, who were touring San Francisco, were delighted to see the practitioners' parade. "This is awesome. The outfits are brilliant," Amanda exclaimed. Ms. Wong from Beijing was also excited to see the parade. "I really appreciate the celestial maidens with the lotus flowers. They are so beautiful." John, a local resident, said that this was the first time he had seen a parade like this. "I'm liking it a lot, especially Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance." Edward, who watched the parade with his wife, agreed that the event was spectacular. "From the costumes, the music, the whole performance," he said. His wife also very much enjoyed the event, adding, "I really appreciate Chinese culture. We should all keep the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance in our minds." This is a new experience. Ms. Sun and her friends, who were visiting from China, remarked that they now had a different understanding of Falun Dafa. "Watching your march and celebrating the Chinese New Year is special. It makes me happy and feel good," Ms. Sun said to a practitioner. Ms. Sun found common ground between herself and Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. "It will help with my own spiritual pursuit," she said. Also included in the parade were banners and placards calling for people to quit the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, which has violently suppressed Falun Dafa in China since 1999. Ms. Ma, who participated in the march, said that many Chinese tourists were initially surprised to see so many Falun Gong practitioners in San Francisco. "They have been brainwashed by the CCP's hate propaganda for such a long time, and here is one of the few opportunities where they can learn the truth and get their questions answered. What is Falun Gong? How bad has the persecution been?" Once they understood the brutality of the persecution, many Chinese tourists were more than willing to quit the party and its affiliated organizations. Ms. Ma noted that more than 10 tourists from China quit the CCP after talking with her.
Western Australia. Falun Gong performance and signature drive warmly received at multicultural festivals. The Hyde Park Community Fair in Perth, Australia, and Multicultural Night Under the Stars in Bunbury were held on February 28th through March 2nd, 2015. Many visitors to the annual multicultural events were impressed by peaceful exercise demonstrations as they passed by the Falun Gong practitioners' booths. Visitors also noticed display boards near the booths asking for signatures on a petition calling for an end to the Chinese Communist regime's organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners in China. Many people were appalled after learning of the atrocity and condemned the regime's brutality and signed the petition to support the practitioners' efforts. The events were held in Bunbury, the second largest city in Western Australia, and in Hyde Park, Perth. Positive support. Rhonda Uhld, a citizen in Bunbury, and a friend, Mary Strobel, heard about the live organ harvesting for the first time. They signed the petition and wrote "stop" on the petition form to express their strong wish to end such atrocities. They took some informational materials and commended the practitioners for doing a great job. They promised to read the materials and help spread the word. Through their granddaughter's interpretation of what a practitioner said, an elderly couple from Sweden learned that the live organ harvesting is a state-sanctioned crime committed by the Chinese regime. They signed the petition and wrote from Sweden to show their support. Jamie Davies and her mother have previously learned about Falun Gong. They signed the petition and expressed interest in learning the Falun Gong exercises. Jamie asked where to learn and where to buy Falun Gong books. They took down the contact information from a practitioner and thanked him. I will definitely learn Falun Gong. A number of Chinese people also came to the park where they learned about the movement of quitting the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, from Falun Gong practitioners. Several of the Chinese visitors have renounced their membership in the party and its affiliated organizations as soon as they learned the fact about the CCP's brutality and understood the significance of breaking free from the party. A Chinese woman in her 60s told a practitioner, "I'm fully aware of what you've told me because my family was persecuted by the CCP. I was previously an accountant, and I excelled in my work, but my employer never promoted me or put me in an important position because of my family background." She also expressed her wish to learn Falun Gong. "I'll definitely learn to practice Falun Gong," she said. "I'll come to find you after I return from a trip back to China." She took down the website address of www.falundafa.org along with the practitioner's contact info before leaving. A young man happily agreed to quit the CCP organizations right away after he realized that no one who has followed the Communist Party will have a good end. He also took more informational materials and DVDs before leaving.
CCP torture method, hunger therapy. Mr. Mo Lunhui lost consciousness a total of 5 times in 3 days due to brutal beatings by guards. As if that was not enough, the guards gave him almost nothing to eat during the 3-day period. He was given only 10 grains of rice for each meal. 30 grains of rice for 3 days may sound inconceivably cruel, but that is what happened at Qishanping labor camp in Chongqing. Food deprivation is just one of many methods used by the guards in their attempts to force detained Falun Gong practitioners to give up their beliefs. Dubbed hunger therapy by the guards, such food deprivation is aimed at weakening the practitioner physically, wearing down their willpower. Many other practitioners detained in the same labor camp as Mr. Mo were also made to go through hunger therapy. Though they were given a bit more food than Mr. Mo, there was barely enough for sustenance. When the practitioners became dangerously weak after a period of hunger therapy, the guards resumed normal food rations to keep them alive. However, before the practitioners were able to fully recover, they were put back on the hunger therapy. What happened at Qishanping labor camp is not an isolated phenomenon. Many other detention facilities across China have also been known to use food deprivation in their attempts to make practitioners renounce Falun Gong. Many practitioners experienced severe complications as a result of this torture. A woman practitioner detained in Shanghai Women's Prison lost about 60 pounds in 6 months. She was so hungry that she ate rotten cabbage leaves that she found in a trash can. Even that was soon taken away when the guards removed the trash can upon discovering that she had found a source of food. Food deprivation comes in different ways and is often used in conjunction with other torture methods. Various forms of food deprivation. Falun Gong practitioners are often malnourished in Chinese Communist Party detention facilities. Below are some of the more common tactics used to starve practitioners. 1. Extreme portion control. Many detention facilities offer only meager amounts of food to practitioners who refuse to give up their belief in Falun Gong. In addition to the cases mentioned above, one 72-year-old man was given less than 100 grams of food per day for 30 days straight during his 2013 detention at a brainwashing center in Wuhan City, Hubei Province. 2. Unreasonable time limit for each meal. Limiting meal time is another way to reduce practitioners' food consumption. The guards often give unreasonable time constraints for each meal. Practitioners detained at the Wumaping prison in Sichuan province were given 20 seconds to finish a small bowl of rice per meal and could only watch as the guards snatched their bowls away before they really had a chance to eat. One practitioner was made to go through a torture dubbed Three Ones while detained at Fangjia Tai Prison in Hubei Province. He was allowed only 1 hour of sleep and one trip to the bathroom per day and one bite of food per meal. 3. Food deprivation under guise of hunger strikes. Mr. Wang Jiwu did not hold any hunger strikes while he was detained at the Handan labor camp in March 2003. Nonetheless, the guards claimed that he was on hunger strike and stopped giving him food. Guards at Zhengzhou Prison in Henan Province reduced the food given to the practitioners, anticipating a protest. When some practitioners indeed went on hunger strikes, the guards immediately took the opportunity to force-feed them with various substances, including human excrement. 4. Humiliation before each meal. While one practitioner was detained in a brainwashing center in Hubei Province in November 2010, he was ordered to praise the Chinese Communist Party before each meal. He refused to comply and was starved for 8 days. Starvation used in addition to other deprivation. Some detention facilities intentionally limit food consumption for practitioners already weak due to forced labor, torture, or sickness. Mr. Wang Haijian was brutally tortured and required to make 2,000 cupcakes per day during his incarceration at Funing County Detention Center in Hebei Province. His daily breakfast consisted of 2 scoops of corn porridge, and his lunch and dinner were steamed buns and watery cabbage soup. He lost a third of his body weight within 3 months and had severe heart problems when he was released. He died 79 days later. Mr. Zhang Shijung spent 30 days in solitary confinement in the Mudanjiang prison in 2008. He was only given 2 meals per day. Each meal was a piece of bun, about 25 grams, and a bottle of water. He had to sleep on the cold cement floor with thin clothes and no bedding. Ms. Wang Aihua had acute stomach pain when she was detained in the Yuyang Detention Center in July 2014. The guards denied her medical care in a hospital, and the center's doctors recommended that she maintain a liquid diet. Ms. Wang, however, was forced to go 9 days without any food or water, as the guards claimed that no one would receive special treatment. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.